Last week, we had what we call our Vision Sunday. Really, it's a Sunday we put aside to every year, and beforehand we ask God, what would you want us particularly to do this year to fulfill the vision that you've given us to obviously share about Jesus, but particularly for us to create a home to empower a new generation? And so we produced a video presentation. Thank you to our video team who are sat here, I think, somewhere. Thanks, guys. It was awesome. To really try and reflect what we feel that God is calling us to do. And we took it from 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, which I will read to you right now. And we called it our very lives. We called it our very lives. And these are the verses. I'll read the verse before. Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much, this says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share our very lives with you, not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And we're really believing this year, church, that God is calling us to share our very lives with God, with each other, and with the world. And as we do that, that we would share the amazing news that God loves us and died for us in the form of Jesus Christ. For those of you who watched the video, and if you haven't watched the presentation yet, it's online, so you can catch it on the webpage. We talked about five things that we might want to do as a result. And we talked about building, being committed to building church, serving, and all that kind of practical and creating services and the ministries here. We talked about you might be a giver. You're able to give extraordinary amounts to God. Perhaps you're a high flyer in business, or you have a business yourself, or you just feel called to produce money to bless the kingdom of God and take the kingdom of God forward. We talked to you that you might be a great connector. You might be one of those sort of people that is just fantastic at meeting people and making them feel at home and relaxed, and then, as it were, helping them make friends within the church. We talked about perhaps you're amazing bringing brand new people into church to encounter God's love and the message of salvation. Perhaps you're good at leading. And we said, we all need to do all of them, but we want to help each other find those things that we're particularly good at and then kind of release us, each one of us, into that. With the idea that as we do that and share our very lives, that God would do something amazing. And so one or two people at the end of last weekend have asked me this question. So on the basis that if a few have asked, lots of you are interested, I will share the answer to the question that some of you asked. They said, so Ed, what would you really like to see happen this year? You know, that's all very lives and yeah, but what would you love to see? What are you praying for? What are you believing for as a church? And I said, well, there's a couple of things, if you want to pray and believe with me, there's a couple of things that I would really love to. The first thing, I would love every single service to grow. So for those of you who are brand new here, welcome. We started a brand new service in Lancaster 3 weeks ago. So there's a whole group of this congregation is now in Lancaster doing a service up there for the Lancaster and the region over there. We also have a service in Blackpool, which started about, and two of the guys are here. Which we started about 2.5 years ago. And then we sent like a little group off to the Northeast. So we have four locations. They have visitors this morning for the first time. So that's fantastic. So the Northeast guys are celebrating over there. And so Pastor Dave, our exec pastor's in Lancaster. Jonathan, who's from Brazil, he, at the moment he's in the Northeast with Rick and Chal. And my prayer is that each and every service will grow. And this is, but they grow mainly, not exclusively, but mainly by people finding Jesus. Jesus is the hope of the world. It's not just the hope of eternity, it's hope of now, as well the hope of eternity. We would love people to encounter God through Jesus and have their lives transformed. And I'm praying, and you don't need to pray this, but I'm praying for 100 new people to find Jesus for this year. If you want to join me in that prayer, then please do. You might say, oh, Pastor Ed, only 100? Surely that's too small, but I don't mind. But that's, I'm not saying it's not a prophecy, it's not. That's what I want to pray for. And the second thing is this, and you might think, oh, yes. I said, the other thing that I'd love to happen this year is I'd love to have a bit of financial breakthrough. We have, as a church, so much that we'd love to do. If you talk to the kids team or the youth team or an extension service leader or pastor, if you talk to some of them, they go, oh, we'd love to do this, 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 and this. And we'd love to see finances released, which would enable us to go forward and actually take hold of more and more opportunities that God is giving us, both as a church, but within the different ministries and even with the different things that you're involved with love for the finance to really come through, that we can really go at it and do all that I think God has for us. So I'm praying for those two things. So those of you saying practically, they're the couple of things. Is that good? So if you're visiting, you know lots of information about our inner workings of church now. So I hope that was good for you. Well, the next few weeks, we're going to unpack our very lives. Tonight, we're going to get some of the leaders up here who look after some of the ministries here, and they're going to share some of the practicalness of what they hope to achieve over the next 12 months. So all of us can hear and get excited about it, feel called to get involved in it, and that kind of thing, as well as a shorter message from me. What I want to do this morning is this. Hopefully, I want to, if possible, try to help you understand what your part is in what the next year looks like. And hopefully, also at the end, for you to see if we do that individually, what the result might look like at the end. And I'm really excited about, as I was praying about what to share this morning, the kind of end bit this message is, I'm really excited about. Now, if you're first time here, you go like, oh, it's church stuff. Yes, it is. But the parable we're going to work our way through is incredibly relevant for you. Because Jesus spoke to crowds who weren't his followers. They were just interested listeners. And he spoke through parables so that every person could understand where they were, what they needed to do next, what their next step was. And I'm believing as we go through this, if this is your first time in church, you'll go, ah, that's my next step if I want to take it. But for us who've been in church a long time, we go, ah, this is my next step if I want to take it. Because that's the beauty of a parable, because they operate at many, many levels. With that said, I'm going to pray and crack on. Father, thank you so much that you're here. Thank you that you love each person in this room. Thank you, God, that you believe in them and that you'd love to have a relationship with them. And Father, my prayer this morning is twofold, that if there's people here who don't have a relationship with you yet, God, that this may be the day where they begin that relationship with you or begin to explore the possibility of that relationship with you. And Father, I pray for each one of us who already has a relationship with you. Father, I pray, show us things that we need to work on. Increase our faith in you. Increase our love of you and our ability to feel and sense your love, that we may do life more effectively, more powerfully, and yet in a more joyful and amazing way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 25 is the parable of the talents. And we're going to read the parable starting from verse 14. It should come up on the screen behind me if you don't have a Bible with you. I'm reading from the NIV. Are you good? So you're going to imagine that Jesus is sat or stood on a hillside and before him are many thousands of people listening. That's the context of when it would be shared. So Jesus said, again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to their ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went out at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one who had the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, look, you entrusted me with 5. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. I will now put you in charge of many things. Come and share in the master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with these 2 talents, but look, I have gained 2 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then The man who received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have at least put the money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. And then he said to everybody, take the talent from him and give it to one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw this worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Kind of good and kind of bad, right? Good if you're the 5 and the 2, not so good if you're the 1. Pretty bad. But very instructive, I think, for you and me. And instructive for our year ahead. Now, really, this parable isn't about a master and his servants. It's about God and humankind. And humankind, in the general sense of the word humankind, is not talking about Christians. Remember, this parable was given to a crowd, everybody, not necessarily believers, and it was applicable to all of them. And what Jesus is saying, the master's God. God has given all of us gifts and skills. Each one of you sat here has some gifts and skills. Some have more than others. Some have 5, some have 2, some one. But all of you have something to give to the world. And the question he's asking is, what have you done with it? What have you done with it? And I want us to notice a few things about this parable. The first one is, all the gifts and skills, all the talents, all the money, it's a gift from God. It's all a gift from God. Now, some have more gifts, more able in certain areas, and others are less able. But they're all gifted. They all had something to offer that was appropriate to who they were. And I want to say this, God has given all of us in this room gifts and talents. They are his, and they've been given to us. I.e., we can't be boastful about what we have. My son, Jonathan, is bright beyond extreme, and he's in Blackpool, so I can say what I want about him at the moment. So don't tell him. You friends, don't tell him. But he's quite bright, right? He's gone to Lancaster Boys. He's at Lancaster this morning, leading worship, and he goes to Lancaster Boys Grammar School. And he's just finished his GCSEs last year and got his results. And he got, I think, 10 A stars and an A, or 11 A stars, or 2 A's. Anyway, he did very well, right? Yes. He got, wow. He was so good, he got a letter from the headmaster and mentioned in the local paper. Now, if you're like me, you might go like, oh, he's a bit bright. And if now let's be honest. At school, and we had really bright people, we wouldn't necessarily honor them, would we? Shall we put it like that? Wouldn't necessarily honor them. It doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter when you're school, it was always the same. But the thing is, the Bible teaches, and what I've come to realize is this: if you understand that every gift is from God, the brightest person is bright because God has given them the gifts. And therefore, I don't need to feel inferior to them because, yeah, God's given them some great gifts. He's given me some great gifts. But we're all equal in value and purpose. And the other thing about this, and we tell this to Jonathan, this is just because you're bright, never look down on anybody. Because they're only gifts from God. And I know you're using them. But if God wanted, he could take them away tomorrow. And then where would you be? And I think all of us, as we look and do life together, this year, as we give our very lives, let's not compare. Let's not think of people above us or people below us. And if this is your first time in church, can I just encourage you? Don't think of people above you or underneath you. God has created all equal and valuable. And as we do share our very lives, you know, everybody's, when new people come in, we're trying to create this home and share our life. Doesn't matter who they are. Let's realize that whoever they are, whatever they've done, whatever they've been given, they're the same as us. They've been created by God. And that for me is really releasing. And it means that I can just, whoever I meet, doesn't matter where they are in society, doesn't matter whether they're super rich or super poor, whether they've done some terrible things or they've been super good their entire lives, it means I can say to them, I know God loves you and God has gifted you. And as far as I'm concerned, we can just do life together, arm in arm, as equals. And I don't know whether you feel superior or inferior. Most of us feel both, depending who we're with. But I want to encourage us not to do that. Remember, gifts, our skills, our talents, our resources, our finances that we gather are given for the glory of God, for the purpose that God has given each one of us. They're given for the good of everybody else. And finally, they're given for our enjoyment. And if you remember those things, if you're a Christian, if you remember those things, it will help you to use everything that God has given effectively and well in the right order and place in the kingdom of God. The second thing I want you to notice is this, that our gifts and talents we're supposed to use to do something profitable with. Did you notice that? We're supposed to use something profitable with. We're not supposed to do nothing with them. We're supposed to do something, we're supposed to put some action, some work and effort into using our gifts. You know, go back to my son, Jonathan. He's got these amazing marks. Well, where should he be going when he's going to university? This is a kind of open question, that one. Where do you think he should be going? You clan, yeah, you're just biased. You know, he should be going to the very best university possible to make the best use of the brain that God's given him, right? Yeah? Because that's right. Well, it's not that funny. Yeah. And whatever God has given us, we should be using it the best we can and helping it to grow. You know, the guy with 5 talents, he went to work and produced 5 more. He doubled his talent pool. The guy with 2, he worked very hard and he doubled it to 2. Now, I suspect, I mean, it's a parable, it's a story, but let's presume it's real life. If the guy with 1 had worked really hard and doubled it to 2, he would have had exactly the same response from the master. You see, it's not about what you have, it's about what you do with it. And you might think, well, I'm not sure I have a lot. Well, that's fine. But what you have, what you're doing with that is important. And I'll come on to why it's really important in a bit. But it is really important that what God has given us in the moment, we work at and do our best with. Now, we watch zillions of sports and Olympics and all kind of things. And we know that athletes, yes, sure, they have a slight athletic advantage on some of us, but they're only the best because they work at it really, really hard. We know they watch their sleep, we watch their diet, they do the exercise, they have a physio, they have a psychiatrist, they have like this whole, and they work on all these things so they can be very, very good at what they do. Business people, they work really hard in their businesses to make them profitable and effective. And they look at things like cash flows. They do profit and loss accounts. They make sure their staff are okay. They make sure they're legally compliant. They do all these things. And they work really, really hard. And make sure farmers. I was brought up on a farmer, and my dad's a farming expert and a farmer by excellence. And farmers look after their stock or look after their crops. And they do all in their power and they work really hard and think through and treat and do everything they can to make sure that they stay healthy so they can be productive. And we as people, not just as Christians, but as people, God has given us some amazing gifts. And God is saying, are you using it profitable for his glory, for his purpose, for the good of everybody else, and for your enjoyment? Are you using it profitable? God calls you, from the very youngest of you to the very oldest of you, to use what God has given you profitably. That's a good thing in the kingdom of God. And if we're going to share our very lives, let's share it. Let's share our gifts and our skills the best we can to make it, as it were, profitable for the kingdom of God. The third thing I want you to notice is this. Everything went back to the master. Did you notice that? The guy who had 5 gave it all back, including the extra 5 he'd made. The guy with 2, he gave back his 2 and the other 2 as well. And the poor guy with 1, obviously he just gave that back, and that was, well, kind of the end of him, really. And the thing about, we don't like talking about it, is all the gifts and skills that God has given you, because he loves you and he created you and all that kind, they're all going to go back in the box. You have to hand them all back at the end of your days. Doesn't matter how brilliant you've been, whatever you've built, it all goes back to God in the end. For me, it's very instructive on how I live my life, what I invest in. Now, Jesus says in Matthew 6, 19 to 21, that we should store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust and robbers can't steal. So there is a way of storing up beyond now, but all of now, it'll all go back to the person that gave it to us. And that's actually the point, one of the points of the story that Jesus was telling. He was trying to teach the people in front of him, all the things that you're working really hard for, all the things you count really important, one day, they'll all go back to God who gave them to you in the first place. And none of us can escape that. And I think that attitude of realizing as we invest in our life, as we invest in the future, as we give our very lives, for the guys who call Valley Home is really, really important. Let's be investing in that which will last forever, not just the temporary, as we seek to serve God and build on the talents that he's given us. For time I will whiz on. The fourth thing is this. All of them were held to account. All of them were held to account. Not some of them, all of them. All of them went before the master. And it's no mistake that that's what Jesus says. Jesus says that all of them, because he's trying to let the people know who are listening to this story, this parable, all of you will one day have to report to the master on what you've done with the gifts that the master's given you. All of us one day will have to report to God and say, God, you gave me this, and this is what I did with it. This is how I've used it. Now, I think as Christians, we know that. But if you don't know God, the thing about, it's like this. Gravity, right? Can anybody see gravity? I used this illustration as a youth worker, but I'm not a youth worker anymore. When I used to talk about, you know, the inevitability of certain things in life. If you get a plate, but you don't believe in gravity, right? I don't believe in gravity because it doesn't exist. If you throw it up, guess what happens to the plate? Yeah, it falls down and smashes to smithereens. Of course it does. Because it doesn't matter if you believe in gravity or not, right? It's there. You can't see it. You can feel it, kind of, but you don't really feel it because we're so used to it. It's kind of there. But if we try and do something against it, then the inevitable happens. And it's the same with the truth that Jesus was trying to preach. You might not like it. You might want to disbelieve it. But Jesus said, but it's true anyway. It'll be like gravity. It's true. And you didn't come to church to hear this, I know. You came to support Joe and Simon. But if this is your first time in church, you're part of the family, you need to know that one day you will meet God. You will meet God. And God will say, hey, how's life been? What have you done with the things I gave you? And you'll have to give an account. You have to say, well, I've done this, this, and this. All of us will. It's what the Bible teaches, and it's true. And God, at the end of that conversation, will say, well done, or he won't. Nice story, eh? Aren't you glad you came? Yes, great. I'm glad I came through the door this morning. But it's truth. It's true. Now, it will happen once to all of us. I want to read a verse from Hebrews 9, because I just need to add a little bit into the story here. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says this. Just as man or woman is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, after that to see the master we've been talking about. It says this, because so Christ, so Jesus was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And so that he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. You see, Jesus tells this parable, but then what he does with his life is he says, look, the chances are if you get to the master today, you'll be in trouble. Because you haven't used your gifts and skills that brilliantly. Because we haven't, because we're all a bit selfish. All right? We just are. But Jesus says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to die on the cross so that when you get to see the master, rather than the one talent guy and the master getting really cross at you for not doing a good job with your stuff, Jesus said, I will take that cost on myself. So if you approach the master at the end of your days and say, I haven't done much actually, God, with what you've given me and who I am, you can say, but I followed Jesus. And what Jesus did on the cross by taking away that punishment, you can then plug into And actually, he will then welcome you into eternal life. Does that make sense? I hope it makes sense to you. Because it's not our salvation. God's good pleasure is not based on whether we do a good job or not. It's actually based on what Jesus did on the cross. That we'll still all be held accountable for what we've done. But we could be the dumb person with the one talent who did nothing. If we trust in Jesus, if we are waiting for him, if we remain in him, when we do meet, we don't plead what we've done, we just plead Jesus. In fact, all of us are going to plead Jesus. At least put that in the story, yeah? You could. And at the end, if you've never, ever understood that the Easter story is about you being released from the issue of non-relationship with God, of misusing what God's given you. If you never understand, at the end, I will try and explain it even better and give you a chance to say, actually, I would love to begin a relationship with God. Begin that relationship with Jesus so that I can actually not, when I do get to that place, it's going to be okay. I mean, when I was 12, I became a Christian because I wanted it to be okay. I wanted it to be okay when I met God. And that's a good reason to begin your relationship with God. There's much more to God than just escaping that, okay? God's amazing. He really is. But, it's a good, okay, myself. The final thing I want to say is this, and with this I'm going to finish. If you can recall, when I read this story, the guy who had five and the guy who had two and doubled them, the master said this, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share the master's happiness." God has called us to share our very lives, to use what God has given us for his glory, for his purpose, for each other, and then for ourselves. And if we can do that, church, this is what God promises. The few things you have today, I will give you many things instead. I will give you many. And this is my belief and hope for us individually, for you as an individual, and also for us as a whole in all the different locations, is this. If this year, if we can share our very lives, I believe God will take some few things off you and he'll give you many things. And I'm believing with so much conviction that for some of you this year, and even this morning, if you've never followed Jesus, this can be true for you. At the end of this year, you'll look back and say, the things I was doing at the start of 2017, I can't believe how they've kind of changed and morphed and moved or gone. And I'm here and I'm doing this thing today. It's just unbelievable what God has given me. He's taken the few and he's giving me many things. And I just believe that Jesus is trying to say to us as a church and to individuals, hey, this year, as you give your very lives, I will give you bigger things in the future. Not small things, but bigger things. And that you will share my riches, says God, and that you will share my happiness. As we give our very lives, as we build or give or lead or connect or bring and pray and do all the things, I'm believing for each one of us that we will have a greater future. That the few things, the little influence that we may feel we have will grow bigger as God gives us bigger things into our hearts and lives. Again, I'm going to kind of just turn into pastor mode for our guys here. Church, I believe God has called us to reach thousands of people in many locations. And I believe that if we will be faithful this year with what God has given us, if we will multiply what God has given us, if we will work hard at it and make the best use of it, then at the end of it, God will say, I will give you many things. Now, for some of you, that will be in church life, or some of you be in business life or family life or finances. It could be things that we couldn't even dream of today, but God will give you those things as you're faithful in the smaller things. God is saying, I will give you greater things to do. I'll give you more things to do. And it's not age-related. It's not like social position. It doesn't matter who you are or where you start from. God is saying, if you will be faithful in the few, then I will give you the greater things, the bigger things in your life. I am so excited about this year for us as a church, but also for so many of you as individuals, that as you follow him, as you give what you have and work on that with God's power, but as you do that, you will be amazed. You'll look back and go like, wow, the greater things have arrived, and I never quite thought they would look like this, but they're really cool. Very cool.